Let's start. Okay, before going into the class that you're aware of, this Saturday will be the end of confirmation this year. And it will be ending with the consecration mass to Mary. So these 3 weeks of classes on Mary is taking us up to this Saturday, which will be the consecration to Mary. And so... Okay. Well, second to last class. And the success of this depends a lot upon how much effort you put into it. So I wrote this out for you. You should be grateful, no? It took a long time to write this out. And I'm a writer, and writing is about the most difficult thing to do if you do it well. No? I've published 2 books already. It's a lot of work, no? So I write material for adults as well as for teenagers as well as for children. I try to adapt to the culture, the language, and the level of those who listen to me or those who read me, no? And I think this is understandable, okay? It's not Thomas Aquinas in Latin. It's not that, okay? Okay, and it's not Tolstoy in Russian. It's pretty simple English language that you can understand. The class that we have is done in function of you spending time with Mary. Okay? Spending time with Mary and learning to talk to the Blessed Mother. Now, this class we have today is a class in which you're going to understand how much Mary really loves you. How do you measure love? Love is measured by the willingness to suffer for the loved one. Okay? I repeat. How do you know if someone loves you? The person is willing to sacrifice and suffer for you. That's an indication of what real love is. That's why we don't want to admit it because we're teenagers. That we don't want to admit this, that our mother is number one, and our father is also there present. But we know, we all know that our mother is the one that has suffered most for us. Right? You know that. I knew your mothers before you were born, most of you. So I know most of your mothers, they suffered for you because you're teenagers. It's tough to be a teenager, no? Let me tell you an experience we had. You know what Barrios Unidos is? It's a group that works with gang members, okay? We had the boss come to visit us, the head of the group come to visit us a few years ago. And Wine Gardens used to be about the second worst city in the country about 30 years ago. Okay? Still we got the Cholos here, but no less, thanks be to God, right? 20 years ago, when me and Father Lara were teaching confirmation, most of the boys were Cholos, no? And they were 17 or 18, they had the big tattoos, and it was tough work, no? And how we had to win them over was Father Lara would take them to McDonald's afterward, and I would play baseball with them, and they'd be surprised I could play baseball better than them, no? So they're kind of shocked, no? So... we use whatever way possible to attract these guys, no? But the head of the group said this, how are you going to convert a gang member? When there was Loquitos at Juan Gardens, okay? Or Chivas from, you know, Artesia. How are you going to convert them? By giving a retreat. But who's going to give the retreat are the mothers of the Cholos. Yep. When I heard that, I said, wow, it's true though. Because the Cholos basically, they hate everyone. Even they hate on the members in their own gang that cross them. But even the hardest Cholo knows that the mother loves him. So that's the way to convert the Cholo. The mother might get up there, she can't speak either Spanish or English, kind of tripping over words. Maybe she used to be a gang member, and she gets up there and she starts to cry and says, I visited him 50 times in the jail downtown LA, and the guy breaks down. This guy that's 6'5", 300 pounds with these tattoos from head to foot, no? And then he opens up his heart, he starts to, and his mom says, you know, because I love you, because you love God. And then he comes back to the church after maybe 30 years because he sees love incarnate in his mother. Interesting, isn't it? Now, taking that as a parallel, there's another person that loves us much more than our mother. That's Mary. It's Mary. It's Mary. Now, so the purpose of this class is to help us understand how much Mary loves God, how much Mary loves the whole world, but also how much Mary loves us individually. Now, if you were the only person on the face of planet Earth, Mary would have suffered for you. If you're the only person in the whole universe from the beginning of time until the end of the world, Jesus would have suffered on the cross for love of you, and Mary would have stood at the foot of the cross. That doesn't move you, nothing's going to move you. If you've got a heart of stone, that has to touch you at least a little bit. At least a little bit. I repeat, if you were the only person in this whole universe, Jesus would have suffered. He would have sweated blood for you. He would have been scourged at the pillar for you. He would have been crowned with the thorn for you. He would have carried the cross for you. He would have fell underneath the cross for you. He would have been nailed to the cross for you. He would have hung on the cross for you. He would have died of suffocation because he died of blood loss and suffocation. He couldn't breathe anymore. He would have done that for you, and Mary was there the whole time. So if you do your meditation this week, even though maybe you've been kind of lazy up to this point, if you try to do the meditations this week, it's going to be the best year of your life. And you're going to enter into vacation with this knowledge of God's great love for you. But you have to try to do something. You have at least 10 minutes. At least 10 or 15 minutes. I can't start off the day without at least an hour and a half talking to God. I can't live without that. I would die. I can't start by talking to Jesus and Mary. So think about that. St. Augustine puts it this way. Put all the love of all the mothers of all time together. The love that Mary has for you is much greater than that. That's huge. Put all the love of all the mothers of all time together, the love that Mary has for you is much greater. So you can always run to Mary and Mary will help you out. You can always go to Mary and Mary will help you out. Hey, teenagers suffer a crushing loneliness. I used to be a teenager too. You know what loneliness is? I know what it is, and you know what loneliness is. We all experience loneliness, where it seems that no one seems to understand us. Our mom and dad come from another culture. Our older brother is on his own thing. Our little sister, she's doing her thing. You got classmates that seem to be on Mars, no? But there is a person that always knows you and loves you, and that's the Blessed Mother. It is. It's true. She always loves you. Let me say what I said yesterday to the group. Is this. You are a very privileged group because 90% of you come from a Mexican descent. You're an incredibly blessed group. You know why? There's only one country that had our Lady Guadalupe. Your parents or grandparents come from Mexico, and Our Lady Guadalupe appeared there. What an incredible honor. You should feel so proud of yourself that you are sons and daughters of Our Lady Guadalupe. Wow. You should be proud of your heritage. You should be. So when I ask you, what is your origin? You should say, I'm Guadalupana. You ought to say that with pride. You're Guadalupan. None of you would be here today if it were not for Lady Guadalupe. You hear me? None of you would be here if it were not for Lady Guadalupe. None of you. But 500 years ago, she appeared, and after her appearance, in 30 years, you had 8 million converts. That's 3,000 a day. It's incredible. 3,000 converts. It was like Pentecost every day for 30 years. There's nothing like that in the history of the world. So you ought to be proud of your heritage, proud of your parents, the fact that Our Lady Guadalupe is your mother. However, with this, there's a responsibility. There's no culture that should love Our Lady Guadalupe and tell other people about Our Lady Guadalupe more than you people. You should be the apostles of Our Lady Guadalupe. You should be. You should know Our Lady Guadalupe. You should know the story. You should have pictures of Our Lady Guadalupe. You should have movies of Our Lady Guadalupe. You should love Our Lady Guadalupe. And when people ask you about Our Lady Guadalupe, you should be able to talk for a half an hour nonstop without even looking at a book, because you have it up here. Juan Diego, what did he do? He saw Our Lady Guadalupe, and then the rest of his life, he told everyone in the world about Our Lady Guadalupe. Juan Diego. I mean, he probably told the story thousands of times, but he never got tired. You should never get tired of talking about Our Lady Guadalupe. I never get tired of it. Never get tired. If you love someone, you never get tired about talking about that to the person you love, right? Isn't that true? If you really love someone, you never get tired of talking about that person that you love. Right? Yeah, it's true, right? So, this course is ending by consecrating yourself to Mary. And that's a great way to end the year. Great way to end the year. So just listen briefly before we go into the worksheet of what you're going to be reflecting upon this week. It's called the Seven Sorrows of Mary. Now Mary had more than seven sorrows. But there are seven that we're going to be reflecting upon some of these seven sorrows. Okay, the first is this. When Jesus was only 40 days old, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple. Now, your mom has brought you into the church on February 2nd with a little baby. Probably half of your mothers did it. It's called also La Candelaria, okay? In which you probably saw a lot of these little statues that they put in front of Mary, and then the priest blessed them, and your mom took the little child Jesus home. Now, what is that? They brought the child Jesus in the temple, and this older man, his name was Simeon, was waiting for Jesus for many, many years and saw Jesus in the arms of Mary, and he said, "This is really the Messiah." And he took the baby in his arms and said, "This child is a sign of contradiction," pointing to the cross when he's 40 days old. And he looked at Mary and said, "And through your own heart a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many will be revealed." That's the first sorrow of Mary. The prophecy of how much she was going to suffer later on. Okay, the second would be this. I'll try to give you a modern story. How would you feel if you have a little brother or sister that's maybe 3 or 4 years old, and your mom and dad were driving the car, and all of a sudden they heard two cars screeching behind them, and the two cars were filled with cholos, with knives and guns, no? And they're going after your little brother who's 3 years old with the intention of shooting him and killing him. Wow. Just thinking about it, that you faint, right? And the faster your mom and dad go, the more these cholos speed up beside your mom and your dad with the intention of shooting your little brother. What happened to Jesus when he was a little baby? Do any of you know the story? The parallel? What happened? Remember the Magi, the three wise men? They came and they stopped at the palace of that really wicked guy. What was his name? King Herod, right? What did Herod want to do? Okay, Herod heard that there was another king in town, even though a little king, and he decided he was going to kill all those babies 2 years and younger. So they sent these soldiers to looking for the baby. Joseph had a dream that night and said, get up and go to Egypt, because King Herod wants to kill the infant Jesus. So Joseph gets up and he takes Mary and Jesus and they flee to Egypt. What would happen if you had a dream in which you heard that you had to go to LAX and go to Syria or Baghdad? Or North Korea. Hey, those are three countries that are kind of... North Korea seemed like it's improving a little bit, but Syria and Iraq, I'm afraid of those countries. No? So the angel told Joseph to go to Egypt. The Egyptians didn't like the Jews at all. Remember Moses had to flee from the Egyptians and went through the Red Sea? Joseph obeyed. But you think maybe at night when they were fleeing, maybe they heard the hoofs of horses, and maybe they thought this was the moment in which the baby Jesus was going to be killed. Maybe Mary thought that. What incredible suffering Mary suffered. Maybe she thought, okay, now is the time in which that sword is going to pierce my heart because they're going to kill the baby Jesus. And if you Google in your computer tonight, the flight into Egypt, you see pictures, you go to images, we see a lot of pictures. We see soldiers taking the sword and slitting the throat of little babies. And mom was crying. Maybe Google it in tonight. These images where the babies are taken by the soldiers and they're taken like this, and another one slits the throat. That's what they planned to do to Jesus Christ. And Mary knew that. Mary knew it. So Mary willingly suffered all this because she loved Jesus so much. Okay, let's take a third. I'll give you another modern story to understand this one. Okay, how many of you, it ever happened to you or maybe one of your siblings, that when you were maybe 2 or 3, you were in a mall or a supermarket, or maybe, who knows, Dodger Stadium, some big place, and all of a sudden, your mom turned around and you weren't there, and you were lost. That happened to you? I think it happened to all of us, no? Okay. What did your mom do? Did she panic?
Not really, because she kind of realized that I was, like, near her.
Okay.
Like, she just walked around the corner and I didn't see her leave.
Okay, well, that was a little bit more tame. But I think some of you, maybe you're lost for 3 minutes, 4 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10. Oh, it could be Walmart. Something like Walmart is huge. It's almost like a little city, right? I think mothers would have almost heart attacks. Right, we got Nora here. We got some moms here, right? How old is your little one, Nora? But you have an older one, right? Okay. Well, how about the second one? How old is he? Okay, try to imagine that you're in a mall like Walmart and you don't find him. I think that you had a heart attack. I mean, if we're more than 3 minutes, right, you're going to be calling the authorities and this and that. Every mother. That happens to most mothers, whether they like it or not. What happened to Mary? You don't know what happened to Mary? Did she lose her son? You don't know this mystery? Come on. Did she lose her son? Oh, okay. Well, did she lose her son? Okay, how old was he? 12 years old. Okay. Did she lose him for, was it 5 minutes? 10 minutes. 10 minutes, right? How long? Can you imagine? Not 3 hours. 3 long days that Mary lost Jesus. Can you imagine her suffering? You can't even imagine. Do you think Mary slept those 3 days? Do you think Mary ate those 3 days? Uh-uh. Those 3 days, Mary and Joseph were asking their friends and their relatives, have you seen Jesus? No. Where was Jesus? I don't know. They're looking all over the place. Because what happened, when they were traveling, you'd have women traveling in one caravan, and then men would travel in the other caravan. So after the first day of travel, Mary and Joseph meet, and they're looking at each other, where's Jesus? Mary thought that Jesus was with Joseph, and Joseph thought that Jesus was with Mary, most likely. But we don't know what happened. He was gone. And where did they find him? In the temple. Who made that temple? Any of you know the son of David? He was a very wise man. Not Elijah, no. He begins with an S. S-O-L-O. S-O-L-O-M-O-N. Okay, Solomon. So he's there in the temple. And what was he doing in the temple? Was he just kneeling and saying his prayers? So these great teachers of the law, he was actually teaching them and asking them questions. And Mary comes and says, son, why have you done this to us? You see, I mean, your father, we were looking for you in sorrow. And what did Jesus say? Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that had to be about my father's business? And they did not understand his words. Then he went down and was subject to them, and he grew in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. So if your mother lost you for 5 minutes, Mary lost Jesus for 3 days. See, anything that we suffered, Mary suffered many times more. Let's take another step. Fourth sorrow is we go 21 years. Jesus is 33 and he's condemned to death. And Jesus is carrying the cross, and he meets Mary. What do you think went on in Mary's heart when she saw Jesus carrying the cross? What do you think? What? That's right, a sword pierced her heart. Do you think she was suffering? Okay, what do you think she was thinking about when Jesus was carrying the cross? Use reason now. Use intelligence. Yes? Well, what I would think is this. Mary's seeing Jesus carrying the cross. She knows in a few minutes he's going to be nailed to the cross. You think she was thinking about that? Of course. He was condemned by Pontius Pilate. She knew that at the end, when he reached the top of Calvary, they're going to throw him on the ground and nail him to the cross. So she was already suffering. She was always suffering those nails that were going to go through the hands of Jesus right then. Then the next is this. Do you think that your mother could see you being crucified? I don't think any mother here would be strong enough to see her son or daughter to be crucified. I think my mother's pretty strong, even though, you know, she's 87 years old, but she's got a lot of moral strength, I don't think that she'd be strong enough to see me crucified. I don't think so. But Mary saw Jesus crucified. And she saw the blood coming out of his hands. She heard the nail pounds. And they probably were not sharp nails, but dull nails, which made it more painful. Why? Sharp nail, one pounding, it's through. But the dull nails have to be pounding 3 or 4 times. Mary saw the blood spurting out. Who gave Jesus his blood?
Mary.
Did you ever think about that?
God.
No. The blood from Jesus came from Mary. Jesus was in Mary's womb for 9 months. The blood that Jesus had came from his mother. His mother was Mary. So that blood that he shed was given by Mary. So imagine that blood is gushing forth and Mary's seeing it happen. And then the next star is Mary. Jesus is on the cross for how long?
3 long hours.
3 long hours. And she's seeing Jesus in agony. Do you know what agony means? Okay, do you ever hear the word in English, excruciating? That's a good one. What does excruciating mean? Do you know grammar well? What superlative is in grammar? Spanish would be ísimo. Ísimo, most. Excruciating means this. It actually related to cruce in Latin, or the cross. Most intense pain and suffering. So not just suffering, but the most intense pain and suffering. You know, once I was talking with a doctor. It was the sister of Joy Escalante, Terry Oy. She's a doctor. And she said that one of the most painful ways to die is to die of suffocation. Suffocation means that you have pulmonary problems with your lungs and you can no longer get the air in and get it out. In which you're breathing, but the air just won't come in enough. And you're kind of struggling to breathe. Jesus died that way. He died of 3 causes. One would be exhaustion. Second would be that of blood loss. And the third would be of suffocation. So as he hung on the cross, if you saw the movie of Mel Gibson, he'd have to lift himself up and then he would go down. So every time he lift himself up, that would help him to inhale. Then he'd have to exhale. Inhale and exhale. He arrived at the point where he couldn't get any more air into his lung because the pulmonary cavity has got liquid in it. And that would be surfacing, so he couldn't get that air in and out. And you know, he knew he was going to die that way. Makes it even more painful. Who saw him die? Mary saw him die. And you know, those adults who have done the exercise with me, Mary underneath the cross was Jesus' greatest joy, but also one of his greatest sufferings. How could that be? It was the greatest joy, one of the greatest joy is Mary underneath the cross, but his greatest suffering. Why? Yes. Greatest joy because he knew that was the person that loved him most. But suffering because what? Because Jesus knew that she was suffering so much. Is it easier for you to see people suffer? You know, about a year and a half ago, my father died, and within 24 hours, I flew to New Hampshire to be with my mother. And I was sitting at the table with my mother about a day afterward, and she was sitting with, my mom has 39 grandchildren, okay? So she was sitting at the table with about 4 of her grandchildren, and she was telling them how my dad died, and she broke down and she wept. I almost had to go in the bathroom and cry. And I'm not overly emotional, but that was tough. That was tough. And she just broke down. It was good for me to see my mom suffer, but that was tough. I mean, someone you love most, your husband and your dad, that's tough. And one day it's going to happen to you. One day you're going to lose a loved one. It's probably going to be your grandma, and then eventually it's going to be mom and dad. It can happen. I mean, we all have to die. But if you can think about what Mary went through, it's going to be much easier. So it's going to happen one day. But if you can do it all through the heart of Mary, kind of relive what Mary went, that gives meaning to life, right? It gives meaning to life. I go to, we as priests, we go to hospitals. I was in a nursing home in Long Beach last night. I did a funeral a couple of days ago, and I blessed a guy who was dying about 10 days ago. We as priests, we're in contact with this every week, no? And sometimes people are just crying and yelling out, and I'll come in, hey, calm down. Let's pray the rosary. And once we pray the rosary, the people calm down. So let's give your husband to the Blessed Mother. And yet, the more we say Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, that calms down the situation. Because Mary's coming in and she's embracing that person, this loved her loved one. Mary's powerful. Very powerful. It's not simply for girls, it's for boys too. Everything I'm talking about the suffering of a loved one, you guys got to go to Mary. Got to go to Mary. And you know, love is, it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. And if you read literature and poetry, one of the most painful things in literature, poetry, is when someone wants to love and the person rejects the loved one. That's one of the most painful things that you read in poetry and literature and novels, no? Now, Mary loves us, but she wants us to love her also. That's why this class, this course, is designed to help you to understand that Mary loves you, but you have to love her also. Amen?
Amen.
Mary loves you. But you have to love her also. So in your conversations, when you're meditating upon the sorrows of Mary, try to remember that everything that she suffered, the prophecy of Simeon, the flight into Egypt, Jesus lost in the temple for 3 days, Mary meeting Jesus with a heavy cross on her shoulders. Mary seeing Jesus crucified. Mary seeing Jesus die. And then the next one is, did you ever hear of Michelangelo, any of you? I like classical art. Modern art, I don't like it that much. Classical art is the Renaissance art. But Michelangelo is famous for many things, but most famous probably for the Pietà. Have you ever seen that, any of you? What's the Pietà? No, that's the Sistine Chapel. No, it's not that. Surprised none of you know the Pietà. It's pretty, you probably know, but you maybe don't remember the exact, what would it be? Yes. You got it. So Mary is holding the body of Jesus when he's taken down from the cross. That's the Pietà of Michelangelo. Have any of you seen the movie of Mel Gibson, Passion of the Christ?
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie? Do you remember that scene when Jesus is taken down from the cross and placed in Mary's arms? Do you remember that scene? What did Mary do? Takes the cloth and starts to wipe the body. That's another one of the sorrows that you're meditating upon, is that Jesus holding the dead body of Jesus in their arms. Then the last one is they take the body of Jesus and they place it in the tomb. And the time of Jesus, they did not bury like in Forest Lawn or All Souls. They would actually bury in caves. Okay, they would be big caves, and they'd be mummified. They'd put the mummy bands around them. Then they'd push the big stone over the cave, and that was how Lazarus was buried as well as Jesus. So think about Mary seeing Jesus for the last time, buried and closing it with the stone. Suffering in that, yeah. So if we really love someone, we have to be willing to be with that person in good times as well as bad. In health as well as sickness. Riches as well as poverty. As you say in the day of you get married, right? We should be, as two spouses promise faithfulness, so we promise faithfulness to Jesus and Mary until the end. Yesterday, Adonella said something I'd like to say now before I forget, by means of a story, St. Alphonsus Liguori wrote a book, it's called The Glories of Mary. And there's a story of this young man who would greet Our Lady of Sorrows every day. The Lady of Sorrows, you maybe have seen a picture, it's a picture of a lady with a heart outside her body, but she has actually seven swords going through the heart. So every day this boy would come and he would stop before went into the church and he would look at her and say Hail Mary to her and greet her. So one day he went to the church and he saw that the lady did not have seven swords but eight swords. And he looked at her and there were tears running down her cheeks. And he said, well, why do you have eight swords? And she said, it's because of what you did last night. So the night before he committed a mortal sin. So he had the eighth sword in her heart. And she said, take it out. Take it out. And he said, how? Go to confession. So he went in the church and there was a priest there in the confessional. So he went in the confessional and he made a really good confession. When he came out, she only had the seven swords. So, what Adonella suggested yesterday, I'd like to suggest right now, is you don't have too much time, but all of you make sure that you make a good confession. Yeah. Make sure you make a good confession. Because the day of your consecration to Mary, you want your soul to be as white as the snow. White as the snow. So listen. Are you listening? Okay. Plenary indulgence. You guys listening? Plenary indulgence. If you go to confession, make a good one. You go to Mass. You receive communion. And then you pray the rosary in the church, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, or pray with your family. Or you do the way of the cross. See, we don't have them here. The way of the cross. Or you read the Bible for half an hour. Then you pray for the Pope. And you say, I'm going to try to give up sin, you receive a plenary indulgence. You know what that means? It's one of the greatest gifts that the church offers to us if you want it. Well, it's not decreased. It's this. That all of your sins, are washed away as well as the temporal punishment do. So that if you were to die, you would go right to heaven. And you wouldn't even have to go to purgatory. Isn't that a beautiful gift? What do you think? I would love. I mean, it's up to you. I would love on Saturday that every one of you to receive that, so that when you leave the church, your soul is going to be as white as the snow. You're going to be starting, you know, your summer months. We haven't arrived yet. Your soul is white as the snow. Now, to receive that, that depends on you, because the church offers it. That depends on you. I try to receive that every week. Go to confession every week. I say Mass. I pray the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I pray for the Pope. I try to get sin out of my life. I try to get it every week. So I hope that when I die, I go right to heaven. I hope. That's what I hope. Because the church offers it, I'm going to take it. If you don't want it, you know, give it to me. I've often prayed, if people don't want it, give it to me. I'll take it. I'll take it and run with it, no? So I can't understand how anyone, isn't that incredible, Paul? Ophelia? I mean, the church offers us so many gifts. We just have to open up our heart and say yes. Do you hear me? Can any of you repeat what I said? Because this idea of the plenary indulgence is huge. But you have to know what, you have to remember what I said. I'll start. Yo, what do you have to do? What's the first thing I said? You have to go where? Okay. And then what do you have to do? And receive what? Okay. Then what do you have to do? What's the action you have to do? What? Okay. Pray what? Okay. Rosary either where? In the church or in your family. Okay. And then who do you have to pray for though? Okay. Intention of the Pope. And then what's the other thing you have to do? Try to get what out of your life? Sin, you have to get sin out of your life, right? So if you do that, you can receive a plenary indulgence. When you die, you go right to heaven. Nobody knows this, but now you know it. My mom has always been barking at me, son, preach it. No one knows about it. Okay, Mom, I'm preaching it now. It's a great gift. And no better day than on Saturday, when you're going to consecrate yourself to Mary. We're going to be giving you, in the ceremony, me and Father Larry are going to be present there, and we're going to be giving you the scapular. Do any of you know what the scapular is? Do some of you already wear the scapular? Okay, good. Okay, good. We'll give you another one, so you have two scapulars, okay? So we'll give you a new scapular, and you can use, when you wash that one, you have another one, okay? But most of you, do any of the guys here wear a scapular? None of you? One? Okay, at least two or three have a scapular. You should all wear the scapular. Wear the scapular, and that's a sign that you belong to Mary. Okay? You're in Mary's heart and Mary's school. Wear the scapular. The problem is we give it to you, then you take a bath or something, you go swimming, oh, I forgot where my scapular is, then you lose it. Try not to lose your scapular, okay? Okay? So always wear your scapular. First thing I do every morning is I say my act of consecration to Mary. I say it, O Signora mia, amare mia, io mi affresco di tutto il tempo, prego mi fili all'affetto, ti consagro di sedere, mi soccorso, mi soccorso. So I know it in Spanish, but in English. And I take my scapular, see the scapular? Scapular my mother made. And inside, want to feel it? What do you feel? How about there? So, there's a very... In the scapular, there's two medals. There's the medal of the Miraculous Medal, Immaculate Conception. Then you have the Saint Benedict Medal. The Saint Benedict Medal is the one that wards off the bad spirits, the devils. So this one really helps you against the temptation of the devil, and the devil does exist. Okay, the devil is out there, and he's not a joke. So you wear this. You wear this, and every morning you should say, I think most of you know, O Signore mio, O Madre mia, right? I taught you in First Communion, okay? I think most of you know it, right? Yes, I think, Adan, most of you know that prayer. We'll say it in English or Spanish. Then what you should do is you kiss the scapular. And you kiss the scapular. Okay. What does a kiss symbolize? Of course, that's a universal symbol. Hmm? If your mom gives you a kiss, your dad gives you a kiss, say, hey, I love you. It's a physical, corporal gesture that symbolizes love. So, kiss the scapula, what are you saying by that? Mary, I love you. Yep. And Mary is very, very aware of that. She has a very delicate, sensitive heart. You kiss that, Mary's watching you. And she's smiling from heaven. Yep. You put a smile on her face from heaven. Yeah. And then, what I like to do after that is I take the scapular, I kiss it, and then I go like this. Why? Right? But I want Mary to bless my mind. I want Mary to bless my memory, my understanding, my imagination. We have a memory, right? I want it to work well. I want to bless my understanding. I want to have a keen, penetrating intellect. I want to be intelligent during the course of the day. And I want to have an imagination. Our imagination go wild. La loca de la casa, as Teresa of Avila says. So I want my mind to be blessed through Mary's prayers. And then I go like this. I bless my eyes. She'll be able to look at the things that God wants me to look at. Then I'll bless my lips. Then I'll take my tongue out, I'll bless my tongue two times. You know why? Because I talk a lot, okay? I preach a lot. I give a lot of talks on radio. I mean, I give a lot of talks. So I want my tongue to say good things. Things that are gonna be penetrating the hearts of people, bring people closer to God. Then I bless this. What's this? My heart. So I bless my heart. So, with the scapular, you kiss it in the morning, you bless your forehead, your eyes, your lips, your tongue, your heart, and you're giving yourself totally to Mary. So that's going to be your consecration day this Saturday. You're going to be giving yourself totally to Mary. You're going to give her your past, your present, your future. Give her your joys, your sorrows, your failures, your successes, your struggles, your dreams, your hopes, your future. You want to place everything in the hands and heart of Mary. And if you do that, that should give you a lot of peace. A lot of peace. So there we have it. So it's going to be 10 o'clock on Saturday. There's going to be a beautiful Mass. And we want all of you to receive communion, all right? Hello? So that's the greatest gift we can give to Mary. Is what? To receive Jesus into our hearts. Mary is so happy when you go to Mass, and then you participate in Mass, and then you receive Jesus Christ into your hearts. You do that, Mary is just filled with joy. So I hope that that's going to be the happiest day of your life. Okay, so you have your packet. We didn't go through too much of the reading today, just spoke spontaneously. I'd like to say a closing Hail Mary, and then Adnella will probably have a word or two to say, then we'll have to do the roll call, and then we'll see you when? What day?
Saturday.
At what time?
10.
So come at about at least a half hour early. Yeah? Okay, so let's say the Hail Mary, and we'll see you then on Saturday. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now at the hour of our death. Say another one. We're distracting that Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen.
So, I need four calls for tomorrow. We need help in the office. If you are available tomorrow from 3:30 and on, I also need 30 for